You know, when you said that about enthusiasm, you know, I really don't know any other way to be. In theos, it means God in us, you know, and that same idea. And that's where, so anybody who's a Christian ought to be enthusiastic, don't you think? I mean, we've got the living God living in us. I mean, what a great thing to realize. And thank you so much for that. I don't know what to do now, you know. I'm in trouble here, I think, you know. This week, though, really is a week of prayer. And I will tell you that nothing important ever happens apart from prayer. And this week, you know, with the North American Mission Board, they are emphasizing particular prayer for home missions, for church planters, for all sorts of things that are going on. And I just would encourage you to really get involved in that. But I've just got to tell you, it's dangerous. Okay, I'm just telling you, it's dangerous. Because let me tell you a quick story about how we wound up in China. You mentioned China, how we got there. It caught me by surprise. Because listen, I never wanted to go to China. That was not on my radar. Why would I want to go to China? Communist China? Red China? I had nothing I wanted to do. You guys understand. So, but here's the deal. I knew that my wife always wanted to go to China. Ever since she was a young kid, she'd always tell me about this. And so I knew, and by this time we're in our 50s and she's probably thinking, oh, that's going away, you know, no chance there. But I heard that the IMB was subsidizing trips to China. They were going to help, and here's what they were going to do. Anybody who was working at all with college students, they were going to help them get to China and have a connection with one of the colleges over there so that they could begin to have some kind of a give and take type of thing. And they were going to pay a good chunk of this trip. And I made a mistake because I told her about it. And I let her know. And the first thing she said, can I go? Can I go? And my response was, sure, I'll send you. I'm telling you, I didn't really want to go. So she's like, yeah, she didn't care. And she's on there making all the paperwork and doing all that stuff, you know. And so a little while later, God started talking to me. He says, you really going to let your wife go to communist China by herself? I said, well, I thought she was going with you, so, you know, we were okay. But he's really kind of still, you got to let her go and be there in communist China and all that stuff by herself. Finally, I said, all right, okay. So I said to Diane, I says, do you think it's not too late for me to also sign up? And she goes, well, I suppose. And then she looks at me and she goes, but if you ruin it for me, right? Because she knew I really didn't want to go. So she figured, you know, have you ever taken somebody on a vacation or on a trip or anything where they really didn't want to be there? They ruin it for everybody, right? So she's figuring, I'm going to be going, come on, are we home yet? You know, that type of thing. And so anyhow, so I go and get signed up. Now here's the deal though. Just as soon as I get signed up, I find out that the two of us can't go to the same place. Because what happened was we were representing Purdue University. My office as an association missionary was on the Purdue campus, and one of the people that we worked closely with was the Baptist Collegiate Minister, and we had a lot of college students, and that was that was the way we were going to go, was through that time. And they said, well, you're both representing Purdue, so one's going to have to go to one place and the other to another place. So I wound up going up to northeast China, and she went down south, okay? This was like late February. And China is just like, it would be like me getting to go to northern Michigan and her going to Florida. It just didn't seem quite right. You know, God was really getting after me on this whole thing, right? So we go and we flew into Hong Kong, and that's where we were getting our marching orders. And then I remember her in the car with her team and everything, and she's heading off to go into China, and I'm standing there. I was going to leave soon. I remember sort of waving at her, thinking, oh my goodness, she's still going in by herself, you know. And then I went off into northeast China, and the whole time, I didn't want to be there. So I'm walking around saying, where can I find the internet? I want to see if I can contact Diane, make sure she's okay. I'm just used to taking care of this girl, right? And so, I mean, I started going into this internet place and sending her off an email. And then I'd get together with one of the IMB missionaries, say, you got internet? Yeah. I'd send her off an email. She never answered me one time. I mean, at the end I said, hey, I've been emailing you the whole time. What's that all about? And she looked at me, she goes, I was in China. You know, like, what am I doing? I'm not going to be looking at the internet. So anyhow, but you know what? This week's verse is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And in there he says, here am I, Lord, send me. And here's the deal. That was my life verse. So, you know, there I am in China. I figured I ought to at least owe it to the Lord to see, you know, if there was any reason, you know, or anything else. Here am I, Lord, send me. So I'm investigating a little bit, not very serious about the whole thing. And then they asked me to do some prayer walking. Once again, that's dangerous, okay? So here I am. Asked to do some prayer walking, and I'm walking down the street, you know, and I'm looking, and over here was a radio antenna where they broadcast stuff. And you know what they're going to be broadcasting in China. It's all a bunch of propaganda, right? You know, and I know it's just, and I'm going, oh, Lord, send the light. Send the light that maybe one day that radio station would be led by some Christians, and it would be broadcasting the gospel message. Wouldn't that be cool? Wow, you know, I'm going to send the light, you know, and I'm getting really excited here a little bit. And I see this married, well, a couple anyhow, walking down the street. And, you know, in China, they still do some kind of arranged marriages or at least, you know, for marriage for convenience. You know, they've got to be in the same kind of job, same kind of strategy, all this sort of thing. So actually, they ought to always say to Diane and I, tell us your love story, because a lot of them, they don't marry for love. And so anyhow, so they're walking down the street and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, oh Lord, send the light that this couple may realize, you know, marriage isn't easy. Right? I got some response there, right? You know, it's not always, we got to have Jesus in the center of our marriage if it's going to work, right? And so I'm thinking, oh Lord, send the light that these people might come to know you and that Jesus might be in the center of your relationship, their relationship, and that they might grow closer together as they grow closer to you. So now I'm really getting with it. And I start singing. Send the light, the blessed gospel. And they didn't care if I was on tune or not because they didn't know what I was saying, you know. And they looked at this Westerner, he's coming down singing. There's something wrong with this boy, right? So anyhow, so I'm singing away and everything. And then just about that time, I saw this little Chinese guy coming up I don't want to say basement. It was huge. They had built it back in the war, like, you know, a place for the tunnels and all that stuff. And they were selling things down there and doing all sorts of things, right? And he was coming up the stairs and he had a load on him. I'm telling you, he was carrying like laundry, okay? And it was huge. These people can carry a big load. I'm talking, it wasn't just 3 feet up. It was like 10 feet in the air. I mean, it was much bigger than him. It's like this little guy carrying this thing up. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so I start saying, oh Lord, send the light. Send the light that this guy may realize. And I began to think of it as a spiritual burden that he was carrying, that he might know that he can lay his sin down at the foot of the cross, that he might be able to let go of his burden and be set free from that. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. And just about that moment, I heard God say, you are the light. I told you, it's dangerous. So I thought, okay, all right, Lord. And I started talking to the leaders and stuff there. And I said, what would it look like if I came here, you know, my wife and I came here as with the IMB as missionaries? You know, well, that would be great, but what about your wife? And I just laughed. I said, man, she's already here. You know? And so I went back to Hong Kong to meet up with her. When we got there, I said to her, so, what'd you think? She goes, oh, I loved it. I loved everything about it. She said, I gotta tell you this. She said, we went into a Buddhist temple. And she said, I saw these people. They were all praying in front of these statues and stuff. And many of the ladies were there and they were burning incense and they were praying. And I asked, my translator there, What could they be praying for? And he goes, well, this lady here is probably praying to have a child. And she thought, oh, Lord. Here's this woman is praying to a God that can't see, to a God that can't, his arms doesn't move, to a God who can't walk, to a God who can't do anything. Why? Why is she doing this? And she heard God say, because nobody's told him any different. Will you? Oh, so when she told me this, and she said, oh, I just loved it. And I said, you know what? So did I. And I think God is calling us here. So after I picked her up off the floor, we began the process. And we wound up, it took us almost a year to get through everything. But we wound up a year later going back to China. So actually I've entitled this morning's message, Be the Light, Take the Light. We can sing about send the light, but that somehow or other seems to avoid our responsibility. But I want to say to you, we need to be the light, take the light. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, this is where we're going to begin here. Chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus has gone up onto the mountain, and he has sat down, and his disciples and many others are all gathered around, and he's in a position where he doesn't need those microphones and stuff. You know, he's sitting there, and they can hear him. It's kind of broadcast out from the mountain, and they're sitting there listening to him, and he begins to teach on the Beatitudes and all that. Then he gathers these people together, and I just got to tell you, think about this for a moment. These were not the movers and shakers of that area. You know, the Roman soldiers were in control. They could do all sorts of things. That even talks about go the extra mile. That meant they could say to them, here, take all this stuff and we can make you go 1 mile because we're in charge. So, you know, when we were in China, we saw the fact that most of the Chinese people they felt powerless. 1.6 billion of them, they all seemed like nobody could care about them. And we would go up to them and say, you know what? God loves you. Me? I didn't even know he knew I was here. You know? That's how it was. And so I could just see when Jesus is teaching them and telling them, you're the salt of the earth. You're important. They're going, us? Huh? How's that? So here it is. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. I can just imagine them hearing him say this to them. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. What a great responsibility he's given to them. He's saying, you're important. You're going to become the movers and shakers of this area. You're going to influence this culture and this society. Folks, that wasn't just for that day. You know what? That wasn't just for that day. It's for us today. You are the light. You're to be the movers and shakers. We're supposed to influence our society. We're supposed to see our society change. And so the question I ask you is, are you being the light? Are you taking the light? Where will you take the light this week? So I want us to look at three things real quick here. Three things. Real quick. Yeah, okay. Anyhow, the first thing is the place of the light. Then there's the purpose of the light. And then there's the power of the light. All right, so as we look at the place of the light, you see, Jesus said to him, he said, now, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. Right? So what we understand here is that, first of all, you got to understand, God is a strategic God. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. It tells us in Scripture that he puts the members in the body as it pleases him. Strategically, because he says, now, can you imagine going to a church where they're all eyeballs? You know, I mean, that would look really weird, right? I mean, that's not how it is. He puts them in there according to his strategy, what he wants done at that place. You're all here in this church with special gifts that complement one another, and he has put you here with a purpose. Are you fulfilling that? One of the worst things in the world is if something in our body is not operating right and we are handicapped. You don't want to be a handicapped church. God has placed the light strategically. Think back to when Jesus was first born. Because I want to run this a little bit parallel with him. When he was born in Bethlehem. Was that by accident? Was that just because Mary happened to be passing through there? It was by design. It was to fulfill Scripture. It was what God had intended from the first place. And he brought all sorts of circumstances to bear in order for that to happen. She gave birth in a manger. In the stables. And Jesus was laid there in a manger. Was that by accident? No. It was in a particular place for a particular purpose. So you are here. You know, it's kind of funny. He was telling about where we have been, Diane and I together. We've been a team all these years and we've gone here, we've gone there. I was sharing this down south with one of the pastors, what we had done. And when I got through, he sort of looked at me and goes, "You can't keep a job, can you?" Gosh, he was laughing. But you know, but here's the deal. Here's the point. And I don't mean that we should be flighty and all that stuff, but we are God's movable light. We belong to Him. I'm telling you, when you hear people say, "I shall not be moved. I'm not going to do it. This is where I am." Well, maybe He doesn't really want to move. Maybe He doesn't want to move you clear to China. Maybe He does. But maybe He just wants to move you out of your house to the next door or someplace to go and talk to somebody. We belong to Him. We belong to Him, and He can move us and put us anywhere He wants. And He'll put us strategically. Diane and I, even when we were in China, we would start off each day saying, "Lord, give us that divine appointment." You know, in Scripture, let me show you this. In John chapter 4, if you want to just take a quick look over there, you're going to see Jesus was still, not only was He born where the Father wanted Him strategically, but He went where the Father wanted Him to go strategically. And John chapter 4 is one of the greatest areas that we preach a lot and you hear a lot and teach a lot on the Samaritan woman. But in chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "But He needed to go through Samaria." I love that because He didn't need to go through Samaria, but He needed to go through Samaria. You see, He was headed on up to Galilee. And yes, the most direct route would take you through Samaria, but most of the time, they didn't go to Samaria. You know why? Because those weren't the kind of people they wanted to hang around with. The Samaritans were this blend of people, and they had contaminated in their minds the Jewish religion. And if you went there, you'd have to go through all sorts of cleansing kind of ceremonies and stuff because you came in contact with them. But it said, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. That's because He had an appointment. Okay. How are we when God sets up an appointment? Do we keep it? Are we willing to go? "Oh, I'm not going there." Like I said about China, I'm not going there. 5 years later, you know, I mean, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, one of them. There was some others. But truly, what a joy. And God showed Himself time and time again. We don't have time to go into any, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I mean, it was just great. But the place of the light. And you might think that doesn't fit me, you know, cross-culturally or whatever. Yes, I'm glad. We need Michiganders come up here and work. But you know what? If God's calling somebody to work cross-culturally, then they need to come and do it. I'll tell you a quick thing. Jason Livix is a good friend of mine. And he planted a church on the other side of the state. Church planter, and I took him down to Alabama to try to build some kind of relationships and stuff, and they started coming up there to Oscoda, which is where he's at, and one day he's up there and he's casting a vision about this new church that he's planting and everything, and he goes, "Well, listen, one of the things is I am not gifted at any kind of administration stuff, organizational stuff. He's just a people person. He loves people and all that stuff, but he can't put things together, and he goes, I don't know how we're going to get this organized." And he put that out to the people from Andalusia, Alabama. There you go, So, and one young lady said, "God's calling me up here." She came up on a shoestring. I mean, she lived in little trailers. I mean, she just sacrificed everything. But she was there to help put that church together in an administrative way, in an organizational structure. And Jason, he still to this day, he says, "Okay, I want this, this, and this, this. I don't know how to do it here," you know? And she does it. And she does it because I'm telling you that it's a strategy. So she finds herself in Michigan, in northern Michigan, even though she's a southerner. Okay? Why? Because she listened and she was willing to let God place her where he wanted her at this time. Okay? So the place of the light. But let me move on. There's more. The purpose of the light. Okay? So in Luke chapter 19, let's take a look here for just a moment. Because you see, we are to be like Christ, right? We're to be like Jesus. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we hear this. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You want to know what your purpose is? You know, Jesus started out his ministry by telling the people, "Go and light your world." And he ended his ministry by saying, "All authority has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you, baptizing them." That means leading them to the Lord, having them make their professions of faith, baptizing them, getting them involved in discipleship and all that kind of stuff. And that was the calling, that was the purpose that was put on their life. Now, in our text, it says that we are to go and to live in such a way as to bring glory and honor to the Father. The only way is to impact our world, to impact our culture, and to see things changed. And so he was to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, our new executive director that has just came on board from Florida, he's up here, and one of the things he's gone around saying is, go out there and punch holes in the darkness. I thought, what in the world does that mean exactly? You know, I mean, I kind of had an idea, but I found out that it had to do with the fact that when he was a young boy, his mother used to read a book to him, and the book was taking place in the 1800s sometime. And you know how there used to be the street lights that were lit one at a time, you know? They were like a lamp, right? Just like this. And they would go and they would light one. And in the story, the mother came in and the boy was at the window just fixated on looking out there, and she said, "Son, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm watching that man punch holes in the darkness." Huh? Punch holes in the darkness. Well, that's because, you know, all of a sudden, boom, there's light. All of a sudden, there's boom, there's light. And each one of us have been given the responsibility to go out there and punch holes in darkness. Because, folks, we live in a dark world. You know, Diane and I, we thought, we've got to go to China because it's a dark place. They need the Lord. Let me tell you something now. That place is really on fire for Jesus. They are serious about their faith. And every time we came home, we kept saying, "Wow, what's going on in America?" You know? And when finally we said, "You know what? There's a lot of people over here doing the work. Maybe God is calling us to come back to the States that we might be able to work and encourage people, because I'll tell you what, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be doing this. If our purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost," let me just ask you this question. How we doing? Huh? That's our business, so how's business? I'll tell you, when I was a director of missions, one of my favorite things to do was to, when I came into a church, I said, "Can I see your baptistry?" I wanted to go and look in your baptistry, so let me just, that's a little tougher to get at, but you know, what I would say is, can I see your baptistry? And you know what I was looking for? I was looking to see if they were storing their Christmas decorations there. Because I don't know about you, but I've been to lots of churches, and that's what they did. "Hey, I know a good place to put these things. We don't use it. Let's put it in the baptistry." What a terrible thing. And that makes me think about the time when Jesus went into the temple. Huh? And he went in there and he saw that the court of the Gentiles was being used to sell the animals that were being sacrificed so they could make some money. Instead of what it was intended for, to reach people for Jesus. Well, at that time, to reach people for God and to bring them in. And Jesus had a fit when he saw that. He said, "No, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. Not going to be like this." And so we need to realize that it's very, very important. We live today where almost 50% of our churches across the nation every year report zero baptisms. Can you imagine? No wonder they're going out of business. No wonder so many of them are closing up. That's the very reason why we are going around planting new churches, because new churches are reaching lost people. There's no reason for that. All the churches ought to be on fire. We just need to be enthusiastic about what God is doing. We just need to be relit and go out and shine in darkness, punching holes in the darkness. One quick story. Let's see how I'm doing here. Oops. Maybe we ought to move along. Real quick, though, a friend of mine, I was just down seeing Albert Fields. He planted a couple of churches for us, and all he knew was the strategy of going out and knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. You know, I know it's hard, and I'm not saying that's the only way to do it. You come in contact with all sorts of people. If you just start enthusiastically telling people about the one who's changed your life and how it can change their life, that's good. You don't have to knock on doors, but that's what he did. So one time, his son came up here, was a summer missionary, and he came up for 1 week to see what he could do. And during that week, in the area that he was at, knocking on a door, a young lady came to the door whose life was a mess. And he wound up leading her to the Lord in a town where they had had zero baptisms for several years. And we baptized that young lady in a horse trough. You know, we went and bought a horse, because they didn't have a baptistry. So we went and got a kind of a horse trough type of thing, filled it with water and baptized her. And that was the first baptism they'd had in a long time. People are not being reached because they don't care. It's because we don't care. We don't care enough to get ourselves out of our comfort zone. So, the purpose of the light, to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, lastly, I want to share this, the power of the light. Because folks, when God tells you to go someplace and share the gospel, He doesn't say, now, make sure you got everything all taken care of and that you are a sharp talker. You know, you mentioned that I used to be a used car salesman. Boy, oh boy, have I got a deal for you, you know? And it's kind of like, somebody, oh yeah, I can see it now. Yeah, sure. Okay. But no, we don't have to sell anybody. Because it's God that does the work. If He doesn't do the work, then nothing real has happened. All right? And so it's not about us and how sharp and how one. You go, I can't share the gospel. I might mess up. You know what? When He is involved. Now, sure, we need to try to do the best we can, get prepared as best we can. But you know what? In the end, it's all about God doing it. It's all about Him changing lives. And here's the thing. I just want to share this story with you. When we went to El Salvador, okay? And while we were in El Salvador, we went to one of their churches. They were having revival service. Now listen, I'm telling you, they get excited and they were having fun. And of course, Diane and I are there and like, ooh, this is our kind of place, you know? And we're just having a grand time. Well, there was a bunch of kids that were down in the basement and they had a praise band, you know, up front. And the teachers down there probably had all they could handle of those kids. And they said, we're going to take them up there so they can listen to the music. So they brought them all up, and they said to the kids, go on in there and line up against the wall, you know. And so they came in, and as we were watching them come in, there was one little boy who was carrying a tambourine. Now, it was a cute little thing. It had a little mouse on the front of it and everything, you know. But he had it behind his back, because he wasn't supposed to have that, okay. And so he came in there, and he was like right in the middle of all the boys, and he's just standing there. And the band, the praise band is up there playing, and you could see him. He's just sort of... You know, the other kids were kind of sitting still, and he was like, and all of a sudden, bam, yeah, bam, yeah, bam, yeah, and he's out there, right, just having a grand old time. And the teacher who had brought him up was standing back here, and she did one of these, you know, the teacher looks. And he's like, you know, and he steps back up against the wall like this. So she goes on, starts talking to her other teacher friends, you know. You see it coming, right? And he's sitting there just bouncing away. Yeah, oh, bam! Yeah, bam! Bam! She's over here. And this time it's like, whoa! And she starts walking towards him. And so she's doing the same thing, you know, like this. And he's like here, and he moves. Quite a bit over, and pulls in, okay, you know, like that. So she decides not to come out and make a big scene. So she goes back, talking to her other teachers and stuff. And apparently she's like, I'm not fooling with this guy anymore. So she's over. So he's still sitting there. He's now a little further away, right? Next thing you know, he's out there. Bam, bam, bam. A few seconds later, he's up on the stage. Literally, with the whole praise band, and he's just going to town. And this was what Diane leads over to me, and she goes, the music's in him, and it's just got to get out. I tell you, that has stayed with me, because listen, you guys, God is in us. And it better be in such a way that you can't stand. You know, there's going to be lots of people going,